Eben, welcome to the Leader in Flow dialogue that Berit and I will have with you today. I am Stéphane Guéraz, actuary from France, spent 15 years in Berkeley and the West Coast of Canada as a management consultant, and now in Europe, focusing on organizational performance at the intersection of business and psychology. And Berit, will you introduce
yourself? Yes, I am Berit Sander. I'm a business psychologist working with processes, leadership training, leadership development, coaching, different organizational processes in Denmark and out there on the planet. Everything about human beings in work life.
Wonderful. And now our guest today, Preben, may you introduce yourself.
Yes, and happy to be here. My name is Preben Honing. As you can hear, I'm a Dane. I have been working for and with Novo Nordisk for actually just had my 25th year anniversary. And all those years has been within manufacturing. I have had the pleasure to work in Denmark, in the United States, in China. And I'm an engineer by training. And that's a very short version of me. I'm 54 years old.
So as a senior vice president of product supply, you mentioned that you oversee manufacturing at scale. I'm sure you have ambitious goals, lots of machines and technology, and yet you have a very strong focus on people.
You are very right. I mean, it is a fantastic combination of technology, modern technology, being in the forefront of technologies, and it's about people. So I have this very strong belief that technology really help us getting there, but I mean, we will never succeed without people. So it's always a very balanced mixture between the ability to work with technology, and then on the other hand, also even more importantly, work with people, because I mean, we will never be successful applying any kind of technologies if we don't take really good care of our people and have a sincere curiosity and interest in people also. So that's what I love about my job. It is exactly this combination.
You being a senior position with a lot of influential power and a lot of people who are referring to you, how do you personally ensure and invite towards psychological safety?
Yeah, you need to be authentic. And being an authentic leader to me is not easy. It sounds easy, maybe, but I have learned, no, it's not. Because being authentic to me is actually that you as a leader dare to show your strength and your weaknesses. It feels very natural for many, at least me, to show off your strength. But the other side of that is where, to me, you as a leader foster the psychological safety. This is where you start out demonstrating that you trust the people you are surrounded by. So the way I live my leadership, the way I like to be part of a leader, a team, that is that I dare to show off also where I'm weak. And this is something I have done over the years. And up until now, I have only experienced that this is really a game changer, and also and a way to exactly answer your question. I mean, foster the psychological safety, and when that is happening, then that also comes back to the other what I mentioned before. Then you, being a part of the team, you can actually trust that you can raise your hand also, and we can talk about what is not working. And being in the pharmaceutical industry, delivering medicine, then this is where it starts.
And to use the phrase, you're role modeling.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And we are being, we as leaders, we are being mirrored, we are being looked at, and we are the role model. So of course it starts with me. So to dare to talk about also your vulnerability.
Would it be okay to ask you to dare to share one of your own weaknesses and how you deal with it, how you cope with it?
Yeah, so here we are, and I practice here in front of the camera. What I have experienced as a leader is that you yourself put yourself in the front of, achieving some objectives, supporting the company on its mission, and I have experienced myself that focus. And then when I do not succeed, when I do not deliver on the objectives, on the targets, do not fulfill the dependencies on the part of the value chain I'm responsible for, that has been difficult for me to really segregate that from that to impact my personal life and keep that keep the right professional distance.
So that is actually the backside of you being very ambitious.
Yes.
Maybe even proud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And even even make, you know, the successful achievements really fuel my ego and so on. And then when it's not working like that, then keeping the distance to that, it do not completely stress me out and basically make me stumble. And that is something I have used a lot of time reflecting on, and also come to the realization this almost fear of, you could say, exclusion, this as a leader not delivering, that can make me feel like, okay, but then I'm not fulfilling my role, then what? I mean, can I then I mean, am I actually capable of fulfilling this job? Those feelings, those emotions I have had, and I have used those again to develop myself, to be able to cope with these sensations, notions, feelings. And then back to your question, I mean, it has required me to be open about it, to be able to talk about it, to share it, and again, by doing so, it has also made me grow in the way that I today believe that I can cope with it.
But it's interesting to think about it as an ongoing process. You are ambitious, you are proud, you're afraid of failure, you hate to fail.
Yes.
But that's also a drive to succeed.
Yes.
Because it makes you hard work.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I completely agree with you. And that realization is back to Stefan's point. I mean, it sounds great in theory, but doing it.
But doing it.
But doing it. I mean, be on the spot. Being not successful, that's different.
And now you are also alluding to how in your team you need that to function well and to address staff challenges.
Yeah.
How does it work one-on-one? Let's say you have a new member of the team that may not have had that experience of being in a very psychologically safe environment.
Yeah.
How do you onboard that person?
This week I've just gotten myself a new member of my team, so now I can excel in your question. Politeness, kindness, openness, a sincere intent, curiosity. So these are all easy words to say, but I need in my behavior to reflect that. And I hope it's felt, because it is my intent. Because I believe in that by demonstrating this, it of course makes people dare to come forward. And this is where it starts. From experience, I mean, you can shut these dynamics down very fast, instant. So it just take the wrong conversation. It just take you as a leader not to be able to keep calm I mean, forget about it. I mean, you can. I find that we as humans, we are hardwired to be concerned. And if we as if I as a leader fuel this concern, I mean, it gets out of control very fast. So I need to demonstrate calmness and openness and so on, like I say, and from there, then we can start having the conversations, and I can also, which I do, I mean, yeah, be the authentic partner, and then make my reports also feel that we are here together to succeed.
We can bring forward another concept. We're talking about psychological safety, and now actually you are living emotional intelligence. It's interesting to listen to you explaining what emotional intelligence actually is, the ability to be aware of your feeling as it happens and be able to control it.
Yeah.
Not make it disappear, but being aware of it and deciding what to do about it in the moment.
Yeah.
And then be able to talk about it in a given moment.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the essence of psychological yeah. Of emotional intelligence.
Yeah. And I will say to that, I actually, I mean, in Novo Nordisk, we have our Novo Nordisk way, which defines and describes the culture and the behavior we would like to see. And we have one of our essentials exactly. Express the need for respect, and that is to me a very very short distance between psychological safety, trust, and then emotional intelligence and respect.
It's interesting to listen to you explaining what emotional intelligence actually is, the ability to be aware of your feeling as it happens and be able to control it.
Yeah.
Not make it disappear, but being aware of it and deciding what to do about it in the moment.
Yeah.
And then be able to talk about it.
And I will say to that, I actually, I mean, in Novo Nordisk, we have our Novo Nordisk way, which defines and describes the culture and the behavior we would like to see. And we have one of our essentials exactly express the need for respect, and that is to me a very very short distance between psychological safety, trust, and then emotional intelligence and respect.
Totally.
So I think this about showing up, being in eyesight, and have that as a point of departure. That is to me where respect, or that's an expression of respect, and that is a point of departure for creating this environment, this safe space, where we have room to make mistakes and we have room to succeed, and we always do this together.
Could help thinking that there must be days where you feel like going into a room, close the door, and shout.
Yes.
And then
yes.
Go out again and
yeah.
be more calm,
yeah.
Because it sounds almost like
yeah.
superhuman.
Yes, it can sound like that, and I'm not sitting here and say that I'm the mastermind of this, not at all, but it's an intent for me to demonstrate this. And I can tell you, I have had the emotions where I feel like hammer my hand into the table, because this is just too much of a worse thing, but I up until now have succeeded not to do it, because I don't believe in it.
No,
I don't believe in it, and I actually believe in yeah. I actually think the side effect of doing it, the derived impact, will be much much worse and will not move us closer to where we actually want to go.
But you have an ability to role model and to influence the culture by showing your respect, by being transparent, sharing risks, sharing worries, and by doing that, sharing vulnerability. you actually demonstrate strength.
And that is, it's not the intent to demonstrate strength. The intent is actually, and the belief is that the other dynamics you mentioned, those are the one which will end up, because end of the day, we are here to fulfill a job, and we have commitments to patients, and then it stems back to the intent and the core belief. And my core belief is it is through the culture you nicely described, we end of the day will become most efficient. Mm-hmm. So it is for me a belief in that this is the way. This is the way to actually run and develop a sustainable business by having this culture.
Can I ask, you also mentioned one quality that I thought is quite interesting, that notion of calm. And I also sense a little bit, I don't know if I alluded to it, some sort of optimism as well, you know, believing that we can get through challenges. But and I was wondering, you know, as it relates to, is that important for the quality of decision making?
I think you are touching some very, very important traits here. Honestly, I am hardwired as an optimist. That was just what I was given by my parents, I believe. So I have come to learn that this is actually important. It's very important being a leader. I think this is really, really close to being a leader. Actually, you have to be able to see a way out and a way forward. And their optimism helps you. I have also learned again, and there's a pitfall to that. I have learned this about I can be so optimistic that I don't take responsibility for this situation. And that's something I have learned. I mean, it's not good enough to be an optimist and bring forward the big yes and gung ho and so on. I have learned that it is so important that you to show responsibility of the task and the objectives and so on, that you are also very clear on your priorities and what you have to say no to.
How do you continue to be able and willing to challenge yourself?
This is also where I highly appreciate, though it doesn't feel nice in the situation, but I actually value that when my peers, they challenge me. And in the situation, I can be annoyed. And don't be a party killer here, or, you know, right? And what is that criticism about? And la la la. But there's a fine line between, you know, receiving constructive, meaningful feedback, and then just, you know, receiving a lot of complaints. And I really value the constructive, even negative feedback, because this is exactly which to me is what you need to have as a leader to remain calibrated with the task, with the organization. So this is appreciated, meaning that this is also why I am a strong believer in diversity.
To avoid tunnel vision.
I sometimes feel like, okay, so am my jokes just better than others, right? At least I can sometimes find that people, they laugh more, and they have, come on, babe, they are not, they are probably worse. So, and this is the pitfall of being a leader, that you can get in a situation where you're always being looked up at and so on. And then the tunnel vision starts, and then you get disconnected. And then that's not sustainable.
Mm. You were talking about the importance of being candid. Having very candid conversation. And I'm thinking in some culture, it may be more difficult, especially when people report to you, to have those candid conversations. So how did you deal with that? And how did you deal maybe with conflict, let's say in the Chinese culture?
It's a very good question, and maybe I did not deal with it in the beginning, and maybe I did in the you know in the end. It took me experience and also for myself to get confident in the setting, and then I will say that I have had I mean different perspectives like. In Denmark, though we are told that we can be very direct, I also sense in many situations that we also, and of course it's also depending on who you are, but there is also a strong drive towards harmony. And I remember in when I worked in the US, that came in my way, no matter what. What nationality I have been part of leading, it boils down to the same, and the same conversations as we have here, Chinese, Brazilians, Danes, Americans, it comes down to the same dynamics, being a human being, being wanting to be part of a group, needing to be part of a group. I mean, it's the same. Trust, compassion, safe space, you as a leader, me as a leader, role modeling, really role modeling, and walk the talk and so on. That dynamic is the same.
I wonder if you have one or two good advice you could share with a young leader who is ambitious and want to do a successful career.
I would really be curious on this young leader. What is your true intent with your leadership role? You need to have that. That would be my advice. Take that conversation. What is your true intent? What do you want to get from this? Why do you want to be a leader? Why do you want to bother? I mean, actually, right? Because as you say, I agree with you. It's a never-ending journey. So get the intent clear, and then when that intent is clear, then be very clear on that. Now you are entering the people business.
Yeah, it's not only creating the results,
but it is about the people. So that will be the other recommendation. That is to be very, that is my answer to this. I mean, to be very, very focused and understand that. And then, because I think if we get those things right, we have a very strong platform now to start, both delivering results and also actually more important, not more important, and then, but do it through, engagement. And having a good time together. It sounds wrong, but actually, create a culture where you can have the right conversations.
I could.